Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Response Time Analysis for Databases and Web Services in WebSphere Application Server. Today's presenters are Larry Hansen and Sunet Dehadia. Larry is an advisory software engineer in WebSphere Application Server Level 2 Remote Technical Support and has worked with customers to resolve database and web services for over 9 years. Sunet is an advisory software engineer in the WebSphere Application Server Level 2 Support Organization. He has been working with customers to resolve their database and web services issues for over 6 years. At this time, I would like to pass the presentation over to Larry and Sunet.
Thank you, Joseph. This is Larry Hansen. Let's go ahead and go to slide 2 and look at the agenda for today. We're going to first look at the database response time and how to determine what that is. So we'll look at the contributors to the response time. Then we'll look at the tool that we're going to use to analyze it, the IBM Trace and Request Analyzer for WebSphere Application Server. Then we'll look at details of how to develop a trace to use in the tool, and then we'll look at how to analyze those results. And then for web services response time, we'll do a similar pattern of looking at the contributors, looking at the tracing that's needed, and looking at the results. Then we'll do a summary at the end. So let's go to slide 3. Database response time, we're going to be measuring the time it takes to go from the relational resource adapter and the WebSphere application server to the time it returns to the relational resource adapter. So there's quite a few pieces in between. For those that don't know, the relational resource adapter is a small piece of code that exists between the J2C code that supports the connection pooling and between the JDBC driver that's specific to the database that we're going to. The relational resource adapter is specific for a certain kind of JDBC driver and provides essentially handling of exceptions and the connection pool. So there's a few minor things there, but it does not contribute much into the overall performance that's going on here. So most of what we're going to be looking at are things that are outside of WebSphere, specifically the JDBC driver for the database, Java socket layer, which the JDBC driver used to communicate to the database, and the Java sockets use the operating system sockets. The operating system sockets call into the network, and then the database server receives the message off the network and processes it through the OS socket, which the database server then uses to send a response back through the same path back to the WebSphere application server. So there's a fair amount going on in the middle here, and there's a lot of different pieces that could cause a performance delay. So we're going to basically look at how we can determine if there is a performance problem in these layers. Well, let's go to slide 4 now. So now we'll talk about the IBM Trace and Request Analyzer for the WebSphere application server. This is available on AlphaWorks. There's a link here in the presentation, so you can go there. This tool is written by Janu Huang, who works in the Level 2 area to develop tools for us. It's been very useful. I've used it to replace what I used to do with PerlScript, so it makes this job a lot easier. The tool allows you to find delays and possible hangs from WebSphere trace files and HTTP plugin traces. By parsing the call trees and methods and traces and calculating the delays in each method and trace, and it comes up with a summary of the possible problem areas so that you can go and look at those individually to see what actually the problem is. So we're going to be using the customized analysis function in this tool, and we'll use TRA as the acronym for this tool. So So let's go to slide 5 and look more about how to use this tool. So we're going to look at how to configure the customized analysis in TRA. So once you start it up, then we're going to go to View, Options, and then the Advanced tab, and that's going to bring us up to the configuration screen. So let's go through these fields a little bit and see what they do. First is the ID list, which is essentially a list of all the possible trace or customized analysis functions that you may want to do. So we have named ours execute all, so it does show up in the list here. So if we look at the next thing, ID, with no spaces, execute all, that's the thing that's showing up in the ID list. So you can find that to be anything that you want. The next thing is menu name, and that's what's going to show up in the menu under when we select which function we want to run. So go ahead and put there how you want to identify your function. There'll be a mnemonic key that you can put there to help identify things also. And also put a description here to remind you what this function is about. So those are the basic identifier functions. The next two fields are the entry keyword and the exit keyword. It can be a regular expression or just straight pattern matching. So the trace and analysis tool is going to try to pattern match against the strings that you put here to determine where the beginning and the end of the functions are that we want to measure. So by knowing the values that come out in the trace, we can come up with the right things to measure to come up with the response time that we want to look at. So let's go on to slide 6. First thing here we want to look at is the actual patterns that we want to measure against to get the execute time for the database statement. So in the web share trace, it's going to be fairly simple. A greater than sign with two spaces in the word execute is going to show up at the beginning of the item that we want to measure, and then the less than sign, two spaces, and execute is going to be the end of what we want to measure. So the amount of time between these two pattern matches will give us the time to actually execute the database statement. So next thing is the actual trace specification that we can use to get the data that we want. So we're going to here measure prepared statements, callable statements, and connections at the RRA level, relational resource adapter. And this will give us the data that we need to see which statement was executing and the execute statement was called, and then also the information to tell us how long it took to execute that statement. The trace is going to give us about 2.5 kilobytes per statement execution, so compared to the trace that you would get for a full-blown database trace, this is pretty small and is manageable in most situations. And next is I've given two ways of setting up a trace. One is to use the JDBC MustGather link using the ISA Lite tool. This is a tool you can download that will automate most of the functions that you want to do. It's easy to use and helps you download or upload the data to the support site if you want to do that. We recommend using ISA Lite to do this. If you want to do it manually, the next link has instructions on actually how to set up a trace either statically or dynamically. Let's go on to slide 7. So now we're going to look at what comes out in the trace. So here at the beginning of the trace, we see the actual database connection being made. These are all at the relational resource adapter level. And then we see the prepared statement call, and the prepared statement is right about the middle of the screen. So it's called db2admin.stemployee0. And we see the end of the statement preparation, and then we're setting the parameter on the statement. So that basically, you know, is the the basics of getting the statement set up and showing us what statement's actually being executed. Well, next, let's go to slide 8. And here, we, in green, we see the two statements that we've pulled out to want to use to do our analysis. And then the red inside those statements is the actual string that we're that we want to look at. So we see the greater than two spaces executed there, and the less than two spaces executed at the end. And then there's a time between those two statements, which we see here is about 62 milliseconds for this case. So the TRA tool will actually go in and calculate the time difference between these two statements and come up with a summary of the statement executions for everything that's in the trace. So we can go and look at those and determine what's going on. Then after the statement execution, the connection gets closed and we see the finishing of the closing of the connection. So as you can see, the trace doesn't have a whole lot in it, and it has the basic information that we want to be able to analyze what's going on in this case. So let's move the statement or to slide 9. So once we have the trace file, then we go into the TRA tool to open up the trace file. And that's pretty easy. Just select the file from the directory and go ahead and open it. Let's go to slide 10. So once we get the trace file open, TRA is going to do some processing on it. And then when it's finished doing its processing, we're going to go to customize analysis in the execute, or execute all, or whatever you called it. And it's going to come up with a list of trace point entries that it pulled out and the time difference between those entries. And at the bottom, it's going to be a summary of what it analyzed out of the trace. So in this case, you can see that I did 10,000 executions, actually 10,001. The total amount of delays for all of those, and then the average delay for each of those. So the average delay was 639 milliseconds. So if we go back up to the top, we can see that the statement that took the longest took 10,235 milliseconds, or over 10 seconds. So that looks like a statement that we want. There's several of them here, actually, that look like they took 10 seconds. So we want to go look at those and determine why they're taking so long. So let's go to slide 11. That list that I had there, I called the worst offenders. Basically, I built my worst offenders here by doing a random selection of a score procedure with a built-in sleep so I could come up with a test case to show you here. So some of those sleeps were 10 seconds. So we were seeing the resulting response times for those calls that were taking, had the 10-second sleep built in. So we actually select one of those trace entries. TRA will actually show us the trace associated with that. So let's go to slide 12 and see what that looks like. So by selecting the top entry in the trace screen, or the execute customized analysis screen, we can see that, yeah, here's the execute query that was executing. It's highlighted. And if we move up from there, then we see the prepared statement that was executing that took this long time. So you can see it was called eb2admin.sple10, which was the prepared statement that had a 10-second delay built into it. So this actually gives us the information that we need to take analysis to the next level. So let's go to slide 13. So what next steps do we want? If the executes are taking a long time, or some of the executes are, the first thing we want to do is look at the database server response times at the server level. This is the most likely source of the long execute. In my case, that's actually what was happening because I built the store procedure to take a long time. So the first thing to look at, if the database does not show it, that it's taking a long time to do anything, and the next thing to look at would be the network, see if there's any delays occurring in the network and getting the response back to the application server. So you'll probably need to involve your network team to get that done. Next thing, if you don't think the network's the problem, is to look at the JDBC driver to see if there's any delays in coming back there. You'll want to engage the JDBC driver support team. That's not AVM in most cases, unless it's DB2 or Informix. So you would engage the database vendor directly to look at the JDBC driver response times to see what's going on there. So if there's long executes going on, the problem is not in the application server, but it is in one of the downstream items. So you should not depend on Webster's application server support to resolve that, but you need to work with the other teams, the database or the network, to understand what's going on in these areas. Next item is, if there are no long executes showing up at the RRA area, then the problem is upstream of the relational resource adapter, so you should engage Webster application server support to look at performance degradation in the application server in general, determine where the performance degradation is happening. Generally, we do have a scatter that we'll ask you to get. It gets some operating system parameters and some Java cores or other kinds of thread analysis so that we can look at the performance of the application server and see what's going on there. For our database servers, that's going to take us through the rest of the things, so let's go to slide 14. So I'm going to turn it over to Sumit now to talk about web services response time.
All right. Thank you, Larry. As Larry mentioned, my name is Sunit Adanya, and I'll be taking you through the second half of the presentation where we are going to go over how to analyze web services response times. So before we can do that, we have to really understand what the various contributors are that would add up to a particular web service call's response time. And so on this slide, I've listed a few of those items here. So the first thing would be the web services client engine. So that's what is going to be doing all the work on the web service client side to create your SOAP message and then send it out to the provider. In the web services client engine, you have WS security processing. If your web service is configured with XML encryption or digital signature, there will be some overhead associated with that. One big contributor to response time is serialization and marshalling, which is the conversion of Java objects to XML. If your SOAP messages are very large or contain lots of elements, then this could be a delay. Next, we have the SSL or HTTP channels. If you're going to be sending it via HTTP, you'll have to negotiate the HTTP channel. And if you're sending it over HTTPS, then you have to deal with the SSL channel. And then, as Larry mentioned, Java sockets, client operating system sockets will also come into play here. Another big contributor to response time would be the network or DNS servers and things like that. There could be delays occurring there. And then on the server side or the provider side, there will be deserialization and unmarshalling that happens as well. So that's converting the XML back to Java objects, which can be manipulated in the application server or whatever the runtime is on the provider side. Then there's the web services provider engine, which will include processing for AWS security and other things like that. And then finally, we get to the actual web service call that was being invoked, and that call itself could make other calls downstream, for example, to a database, as Larry mentioned, could send a message to a JMS queue, could make calls to other web services. All that type of thing can happen on the web service provider side. And then all of this has to go backwards and go back up the stack back to the web services client. So there are a lot of things that you have to keep in mind when you're trying to debug a problem with web service response time. All right, so in this presentation, we're going to focus on web service client-side response time analysis. And the time gap that we'll be measuring using the trace that I'm going to show you in a few slides, it will start after the serialization is done of the Java to XML. It'll cover the whole stack down and then back up again and then stop before deserialization happens on the client side. All right, so this will become a little more evident on future slides. So why don't we move on to the next slide, slide 15. So as Larry showed you before, you can use the TRA, the Trace and Request Analyzer, to configure custom patterns to analyze Web Server App Server traces. And the two trace points that I've listed here are specific to web service client-side analysis. And so the entry keyword that we'll be using is listed there. It's message trace, two spaces, the number 3, two more spaces, and then WSWS3571i. And the full form of that message is listed there. It's the outbound HTTP SOAP request. And then the exit keyword is the same message except it's a 3570 message code, and that corresponds to the inbound HTTP SOAP response. Now, we have to get these messages output to the trace, and how do you do that? Well, you want to use a minimal trace string, as minimal a trace string as possible. And so those are the two that I've listed there. And they vary a little bit. If you're using JAX-WS, you use the first one that's listed there. And if you're using JAX-RPC web services, you'll use the second one there. And this trace specification will only output those messages that I listed above, those entry and exit keywords, and it'll output the ones that correspond to the web service client and provider side messages. Now, one question that we always get when we ask our clients to enable trace is, how much is this going to log and what is the performance impact? Well, this particular message pair will log about 2K of data, and what you also have to keep in mind is that it will also log the request messages and the response messages. So if the SOAP messages are large, you'll have to keep in mind that those will be logged to the trace and could cause the trace.log file to grow large. All right, so now let's assume that we have a web service application for which we want to do some performance analysis. So we enable the trace that I've listed here, and then we wait for the problematic web service call or calls to occur. And then once we're satisfied that we have likely captured these delays in the trace, we then analyze the trace file. Okay, so let's move on to slide 16. After generating the trace, usually the first thing that you want to do is open it up in a text editor and view it. So, you know, open up the trace.log file or one of the historical trace files in your favorite text editor and have a look at what you can see in the trace. So what I posted here in this slide, we can try to see if we can discover the calls which were taking you longer than normal time to execute. Now, I will caution you that most of the time, unless you really know what to look for in the SOAP message itself, maybe an error code that your application generates or some timeout occurred on the provider side or whatever, this almost is an impossible task to do, because on highly utilized systems, the threads will get intermixed in the trace, and you won't be able to see at a glance in one window on your screen where the first message is and where the second message is on the same thread. I mean, you can try to do that by searching for those particular strings in the trace, but it can become a very tedious task because you'd have to go through a large number of these pairs, and then you have to calculate the time difference manually. All right, so in this example, I've made it easy for us to see it, just as an example. On the first line there, we can see that the outbound HTTP SOAP request was logged, and that's the WSWS3571i message. That was logged at time 11:01 and 42 seconds. And then the reply came back, and that was logged in the WSWS3570i message, which is the inbound SOAP response. And as you can see in the second green block there, that came in at 11:02 and 2 seconds. So the time difference there was 20 seconds. So this is an easy way. This is a simple example that I'm showing you here. But in actuality, it's going to be very hard to figure this out. So this is the hard way. Let me show you the easy way, so to speak, of calculating these types of delays and doing this kind of analysis. All right, so let's move on to the next slide, slide 17. So as we saw on Larry's earlier slide, you can configure custom entry-exit pairs in the Trace and Request Analyzer. And in this particular example, I've called it Web Service Response Time. Actually, a better name would have been Web Service Client Response Time. But as you can see there, I've input an ID, a menu name, and I didn't put in a description there, but really the main things that are the important part are the entry keyword and the exit keyword. And you can see that I've added those in from the previous slide. All right, so why don't we move on to slide number 18. So after you've configured your customized analysis, you then open up the trace which you generated using the trace string that I mentioned earlier. And then after you open the trace, you click on Customized Analysis, choose your newly created keyword pair from the list, and then once you do that, a new window will pop up in the tool, and it'll show you all the delays for your keyword pair. And by default, it'll show all the ones that go over 10 milliseconds. Now, if that threshold is either too high or too low for your purposes, you can configure that in the tool as well. In this example, all the response times that you can see on the screen there were over 5 seconds, so that threshold doesn't really matter. Now, in this window, you can see that there was one web service call which took 20 seconds to complete. There were three that took 10 seconds to complete, and there were at least two which took 5 or more than 5 seconds to complete. And as you can see from the slider there on the right side, there were many more calls that were also logged in this trace. And you can see that in the bottom section of the pane there, it shows you the total number of transactions. In this case, there were 44. The total delays were 144,000 milliseconds, and the average delay was 3,200 milliseconds. All right, so those are things to keep in mind when you're looking at this view. All right, so let's move on to the next slide, slide 19. So the code which I ran to generate the trace, I had created a contrived example, which I had created a built-in random delay of either 20, 10, 5, or 1 second. And as you saw in the previous screenshot, the customized analysis was sorted by time gap from longest to shortest. And since you're doing performance analysis, you're going to be interested in the calls which took the longest amount of time. Now, when you're looking at the trace in the TRA, you can click on any trace point to see the trace entries which appear immediately before and after that particular trace point. As we saw from Larry's slides before, it was useful in finding the stored procedure. In this case, it will be useful for us to see the actual SOAP message, which was either sent out, if you want to see that, or you can also see the one which came back as the response. And this is useful so that you don't have to open up the full trace file and grep for all these various values in the trace. You can see them all right here in the tool. All right, so let me show you what that looks like. Let's move on to slide 20. So in this screenshot, I wanted to show you what the response message was for the web service call, which took 20 seconds. So when I click on the trace, when I click on the trace entry in the top pane there, I clicked on the inbound HTTP SOAP response. Then when I do that, the bottom pane refreshes, and so you can see the actual SOAP message that came back. Now, in this version of WebSphere, there's a little bit of chunking that was happening. So the first 3570i message had 4 bytes, and then the second one had 255 bytes. So really, you want to look at the return value, and you can see that the return value in that inbound SOAP response message was 20, and that corresponds in my test case to a wait time of 20 seconds. All right, so that's all well and good. Now that we've identified the call that took 20 seconds or the longest period of time, well, what do we do next? How can we actually figure out what's going on? All right, so on the next slide, let's see how we can do that. So moving on to slide 21. So what are our next steps? Well, there's a lot of things that, as we saw on the first slide that I talked about, there's a lot of contributors to web services response time, but I've listed here a few of the more common ones that we run into on a daily basis. So the first thing there would be to determine the baseline web service provider execution time. I mean, how long should the call really take under normal circumstances? Is the response time that you are wishing to get, is it reasonable, or is it really the actual time that it should be taking for that call to complete? The second thing would be to analyze trends in execution times. Are your execution times trending upward over time? Do the delays occur at a specific time of day? Do these delays correspond to an increased load on the server? Does it correspond to when you're running other processing on that machine? There's a lot of things that you need to look for in terms of analyzing the trends. The third thing would be to look at the SOAP message sizes themselves. Is the outbound request message small, but then when it completes its work on the provider, is it trying to send back a whole ton of data? Well, that can obviously take a longer time to bring that data back, and you need to know whether that's what is occurring in your scenario. The fourth thing to look at would be to review your network topology. Are there any network delays occurring? Are there any DNS issues occurring? You know, these things are outside the realm of the app server, so that would have to be analyzed with your network team. The fifth thing that I listed there is you also need to analyze the web service provider downstream calls. You know, as we saw in the first half of this presentation, database queries could be a contributor. Does the web service provider call out to a database? Does it call out to other web services? Does it send messages to JMS queues? Is it waiting for responses there? You know, there's a lot of things that come into play there, and it would be important to know what is happening on the provider side. And then if all else fails, and none of these things are what is causing this long response time for your web service, you might need to run additional tracing. And at that point, then, you know, you can consult with IBM support for further assistance in debugging the issue. All right, so why don't we move on to the summary on the next slide, which is slide 22. All right, so in summary, this presentation provided an overview of the Trace and Request Analyzer, which can be used to analyze Web3 application server traces. We determined what the minimally invasive trace settings were for analysis of prepared statement execution times as well as web service execution times. And then we used the Trace and Request Analyzer to find which prepared statement was taking the longest time as well as which web service call was taking the longest time. All right, so now after we've done all this, where do we go from here? All right, so let's move on to slide 23. The future direction of the Trace and Request Analyzer, the idea here is to try to publish a set of built-in trace patterns like the ones that we went over during this presentation. And we would like them to be able to analyze a variety of performance problems. So today we talked about database queries and web services, but this can also be expanded to global transaction response times, EJB method calls, sending JMS messages, basically anything that you can calculate a delta in a trace file for is fair game for using this tool. You know, if your application plugs into the Web3 application server trace service and outputs its own trace messages, that can also be used here. Analysis for that can be done within the TRA. So if there's something that you're working on a performance problem and you don't know how to go forward on it, and you know it's a particular method call or something like that might be taking a long period of time, you know, let us know. Contact us, and we can get the proper trace strings for you. We can help you determine what the trace messages should be for your entry and exit keyword pairs, and we can get those published to the tool. All right, so let's move on to slide 24. All right, so this final slide. This chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. DeveloperWorks offers in-depth technical information. The events link on support pages points you to webcast and conference information. You can visit WebSphere.org for user group information and more product info. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up on the learning curve quickly. And the SR tool is used by Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And then the My Notifications link on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. All right, so Joseph, I'll turn the presentation back over to you.
Thank you, Sunit and Larry, for a great presentation. At this point, Fran, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Our first question is from Chuck Chang. Your line is open.
Yeah, okay. I have two questions. The first question is about the web service monitoring in particular. I noticed that the example you provide is mainly focused on the client side. So what if I want to troubleshoot a performance issue on the server side? And does the technique apply as well?
Yes, Chuck, this is Sunit speaking. Yes, the technique does apply on the server side. There's a different set of trace messages that you would want to add to your Trace and Request Analyzer tool. And if you send me an email, I can send you those trace points. Yeah, the technique does apply to the server side.
Okay, so it's just a different trace spec. Okay, got it.
Well, the trace specification would be the same. It's just different keywords that you would look for within the trace.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, got it. Thanks for that. The next question is about this trace-based technique in particular overall. I mean, since we enable trace to troubleshooting performance issue, I bet it's a general inquiry that how much overhead was there would it impose on the CPU? Well, I assume that it takes some CPU cycles to collect trace information. So once we enable trace, would that skew the output a little bit? And the follow-up question would be, how would the overhead compare with other techniques that if I use PMI, I mean, which T-Valley Performance Viewer uses, or if I use like an agent technique, like if I use IT cam, you know, to collect performance data, which one would give me better result or to troubleshoot a performance issue?
Well, any technique that you're going to use to try to measure the performance is going to introduce some sort of delay. And
mm-hmm.
the trace specifications, which we've included in our presentation today,
mm-hmm.
are the base level trace specs that you need in order mm-hmm. to get the minimum amount of data that you need to do the analysis. Now, you know, you can use PMI, but there's also an overhead associated with that. You can use
yeah.
agents, but there's an overhead associated with that. This, you know, is very specific. The two examples that we provided here are very specific for specific problems. And, you know, when we're troubleshooting problems that come in from our clients here in Level 2 support, these are the main techniques that we use. So you're welcome to try both of them, but, you know, from our perspective, this seems to be the fastest way to get to the root cause of the problem. Larry, would you agree with that?
Yes, definitely, because the other tools can give you a summary, but they don't really get you down to the statement that's executing or the web service that's executing, which is really the information that you need.
Okay, so what I gather is I can use PMI or IT cam to monitor server, I mean, from the customer's perspective. But if I want to engage, I mean, level 2, you would recommend I collect trace and send it over, right? So you can plug those into a tool and do an analysis from there.
That's a good summary, yes.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, thanks for the answers.
Yes, thank you.
Our last question at this time is from Maria Pan. Your line is open.
Yeah, this is Maria Pan. My question is not about the, you know, tools or how we, you know, use these tools. It's about, you know, tuning. How do we, you know, optimize for performance if the web services client and the provider, you know, are in the same JVM or the same server? I'm not sure if this is the right question to you or not, but I thought I'll ask and see what I get.
Yeah, there are various things that you can do. You can make sure that your web container thread pool is tuned appropriately for your, you know, your web service load. Because when you send, and then there's also other things that you can do, like enable in-process communications, such that there's not actually an outbound web HTTP call that's made in case that the web service client and provider are in the same JVM. So there is some tuning that you can do, but you really need to keep in mind how fast is your incoming load going to be and how fast are you going to be invoking those web services? How many are you going to have concurrently and that type of thing? But, you know, if you'd like to chat about that offline, we can do that after this call.
Okay. Thank you.
At this time, I have no further requests over the phone line.
Thank you, Frank. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.